of what you've given, Lord God, and help us to forward your kingdom, Lord God. We just give you all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. What a very talented man. Thank you so much. Yes. You know, we are always looking for help. You know, and if you want to volunteer, just let us know. How many of you struggle with things? Yeah. We get plenty of honest people here. Yeah. You know, a few months ago, probably like 3 months ago, 4 months ago, we had some strong winds come in. And I have a 20 by 20 tent in my front yard that my daughter, my son-in-law parks under. I put that up just for them. And it's not just a little one-inch conduit. It's the big inch and three-eighths pipe. And somehow it blew off the legs, and the tent was on the ground. And I was waiting for somebody to set it up, but the timing was off. When I was there, my son-in-law wasn't there. When he was there, I wasn't there. So it's like, man, it's like, we got to get this thing up. It's just sitting on the ground. So I guess, you know, how many of you men, you guys just have too much pride to go call somebody for help? A few honest men. Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I get them. I get them. So here I am, 5'3", muscles getting weaker. Oh, thanks for the lay. It was my birthday and getting older. Hopefully wiser. Hopefully wiser. So here I am, 5'3", 6 feet legs. Okay, how am I going to, it's like, I don't know why I didn't call for help. So I get one corner, I put the first leg on, no problem. Go to the other side, put the other leg on, no problem. Then I got the middle one because I got one side all on. So, right, I got one side. That was duck soup. Okay, so I go to the other side. I try to lift up one corner. It's like, oh, my gosh. Then you're lifting stuff and you're like, yeah. So I finally get one leg on. Then I try get another one on and it falls. And it's like, man. This is really heavy. So after about half an hour and I don't know how many breaks or so I took, instead of doing the two corners, I think I did one corner, then the middle, and then the end. I got it up. I struggled. I think I pulled some muscles here and there, and I was like full on sweat. And it was so, it's like, man, I should have called somebody for help. Even if it would, if I called somebody for help, would have probably took me 10 minutes. But I don't know. I think this is where part of this message came from because, you know, just got to ask for help. You know, a few months ago, we were just getting attacked here and there. And, you know, I was feeling beat up by the enemy. And it was draining, it was scary, it was kind of exciting because I think you're like, wow, okay, we're getting attacked. Yes, we're going the right way. We're fighting, we're battling because, you know, the enemy doesn't want us to go forward. And I like to say that, you know, instead of building a big church, I want to build big people so that when Satan sees you walking down the street, he's like, oh, gosh, there's somebody from New Hope, East Hawaii. I better run, cause they're gonna stomp me and kick me, and I ain't gonna have a chance. So that's the goal: to build big people. So when you walking down the street, the enemy's like, oh, he's gonna swear and he's gonna run. Yeah, and so I was getting beat up, and like I said last week, I when I get beat up and when I feel drained and when I feel exhausted and like wanting to give up or quit or throw in the towel, I always go to my favorite scripture in 1 Samuel, and the ending part says, David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. And that's where I always go. When I get down, doubtful, I just go and sit. I sit and I pray. I shut my mouth and then I listen. And this time I actually drove off somewhere quiet, peaceful, sat in the car, listened to music, and just let God speak to me. And I thought to myself, why do I have to wait till Satan comes knocking and trying to do this? Right? I mean, how many of you wait till the enemy is pounding in you and pounding in you, pounding, just to go away to be alone with God? Why do we wait for that? Why don't we just do that every week? Just go someplace quiet, pray, and open your Bible and let God speak to you. Sometimes it's like, hello? Yeah, I'm still learning and I'm still growing. So here it is. Number one, we need to let go and move forward. You know, and we are reading, just so happened, God's timing is great. We're reading in Peter right now. And 1 Peter 5 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all, you might want to underline that word, all, your anxiety on him. Because sometimes we cast some. And sometimes it's like fishing. We cast them and we reel them back. Yeah, we cast our problems and then we reel them back. We cast them and we let them go. Because he cares for you. You know, we get to let go of our worries. Not ignore them, but let them go into God's hands. Trust him. But we still need to pray and read. And if we need to talk to that person who is involved with our anxiety or with our conflict, then we need to do it quickly. But we need to do it in love and grace. Some wise person told me, if you need to confront somebody and you want to do it, then it's not you. Yeah, you know when you want to tell somebody something and you really want to tell them something? It's not you, because you're going to just unload on them. Yeah? And if you need to confront somebody and you don't want to go, then it's probably you. I hate that. Yeah, because I don't want to talk to that person. The sign is, it's probably you. But it's like, oh yeah, I want to tell that person what they did wrong. He needs to be put in his place. Then I probably shouldn't be the one doing that. See, when we carry our worries, our stresses, our daily struggle, you know, it just shows that, you know, we're just not trusting God enough. We're not putting our lives fully in his care. We need to be humble and understand that God does care. The humble part of this is admitting to God that, man, we need his help. We need his help. Sometimes if we struggle and our struggles came upon us because of our actions, we may think that, oh, God's not going to help me out of this or help me with this. But you know what? He does care. You know, when your kids did something wrong and they struggle, we still love them. We still help them. Well, most of us anyway. Those who don't, maybe somebody needs to go to the parenting class. Yeah. We cannot get stuck in the past. We cannot let our past sins hold us hostage. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. But when we can humble ourselves, confess, move forward, then we can be set free from our nagging problems. And if we are not moving forward, then we're probably going backwards, even if we're not going backwards, because if we're standing one place, everything is moving forward. And if you think about it, we're standing one place, it's like we're going backwards because we're not moving forward. We're just standing in one place. Might as well be going backwards. So we got to let go of our problem, give it to God, But just don't like, okay, God, take it away. Let God help you work through this. Seek Him. Number two, we got to seek help. Like when I was putting up the tent, oh my gosh. You know, we had a, some of us, they wanted us to wash the cement inside here and in the nursery side and in the back patio. So I, of course, I asked for help. So Walt's wife, Vivian, man, she scrubbed this pavilion, the sidewalk, the back, and I looked at Walt like, wow, your wife is amazing. You married the right one, man. Look at her go. She's like going with that pressure washer, just bang. And I was like, wow. And then we had Scott and his son and some of our youth painting the parking lot stripes. And I was like, Susan and Art. Art was out there with Norman, and Norman was up there. Art was there. And these guys was just going with their weed eater, with Walt out there. And they just made this place so beautiful. And I think every summer, when they finish summer school in the middle of the July, we got like 2 weeks. I think we're going to make that 2 weeks a time where we can come and spruce up this campus for the school. Sounds like a plan? And I'm going to ask for your help. Whether we ask for help from man or God, you know, sometimes this is easier said than done. Because we have pride issues. You know, when we're in Home Depot and I cannot find something, and my wife tells me to ask for help. Are you kidding me? I grew up, I worked in like how many hardware stores. If it's not where I look, then it's in the wrong place. I'm sorry, but they put it in the wrong place. And as I'm not going to ask for help. I'm sorry, I'm going to find it myself. Talk about pride issues, yeah? How many of you men ask for directions when you lost? Only a few honest ones. How many of you wives ask for directions? Yeah. So seek help, whether from man or from God. You know, this is always easier said than done. But like I said, sometimes I don't really like asking for help. But that's where I need to humble myself, ask for help. And when I struggle and I need help, I mean, the first place I always turn is the Bible. I mean, I read the Bible, you know, a bunch of times. 20 years I read the Bible. And I tell you what, the Bible has never let me down. God's word produces good, sound advice that I can trust. And if that doesn't help me, I sit and listen. Then if that doesn't help me, I go see Pastor Aaron because he's smart. He is really smart. And he probably, or Pastor Dennis, because they will tell me and they will put me in the place where I need to be. So here's the thing. If we need help, we need to go look for people who can help us. If we go to the Bible or if we're not sure where it's at. In Psalms 121, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountain. From where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. It's a song, yeah? It's a song. Who made heaven and earth? Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, when we seek advice, when we go and say, You're stuck. You're struggling with relationships, with finances, with addictions, with anything. You know, for like you guys know, I have issues with driving. So Jennifer made me a sticker that says "Pray First" that I put in my truck, and this was a really great week because I prayed first every time I started my car. Pastor Frank gave me another one. That has the park drive, and every letter stands for something. It's like, wow. You guys, thank you so much because those things help. So when we are struggling, we gotta make sure that when we look for answers, and if we go to man, we gotta make sure that we go to the right people. right? Because if you go to people that's not solidly grounded in the Bible, then, you know, it's going to be problems. Like in 1 Kings. In 1 Kings 12, here, King Solomon had died. His son Rehoboam has taken over as king. And the people come to him. So in 1 Kings 12, then Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. Now when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, he was living in Egypt because he went there and he fled from King Solomon. Then they sent and called, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father, King Solomon, made our yoke hard." Okay, because you know, if you know King Solomon, they say he was the wisest person around. He built the temple. He had chariots. He had horses, camels. So, you know, for all of these things, he must have really taxed the people a lot to get all of this. So he said, "Your father made our yoke hard. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us, and we will serve you." Then he said to them, "Depart." The king said, "Depart for 3 days and then return to me." So they left. Now King Rehoboam consulted with the elders, these guys who served King Solomon. And he consulted with him. He says, "How do you counsel me to answer this people?" So the elders said this. They spoke to him saying, "If you will be a servant to this people today and will serve them and grant them their petition and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever." Now, these are the guys who counseled the wisest man in the world. So it makes sense, right? You know, you think about it. Hey, these guys counseled my dad. So maybe their counsel, maybe I should take something about it, take it in. But in verse 8, he forsook the counsel of the elders, which means like, no way. He forsook the counsel of the elders which they had given him and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. So he said to them, "What counsel do you give that we may answer these people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" So here we get brand new King Rehoboam. He gets counsel from his dad's elders. And I don't like that idea of me, you know, serving them. So let me go talk to my young pals, right? Talk to his young friends. No, listen to those old guys. They're old and irrelevant. Listen to us. So then in 1 Kings 12:10, the young men who grew up with him spoke to him saying, "Thus you shall say to these people who spoke to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy. Now you make it lighter for us.' But you shall speak to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Whereas my father loaded you with the heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" In other words, "I am going to raise your taxes when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to him. The people answered the king saying, 'What portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance with the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now look after your own house, David.' So Israel departed." So Rehoboam was in a place and he sought advice, and he didn't listen to the good advice, but he listened to his young friends. And his decision not to listen to the right people caused the kingdom to split into two, Judah and Israel. You know, if we are struggling and we need to seek help, we need to find someone who is really grounded in the Bible. Because if you are struggling with your spouse and you go to see your friends, what they're going to tell you? Dump him. Forget about him. Forget about her. Why? Whereas you come to see a person who is grounded in the Lord, they will try and encourage you to work things out. You know, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's, you know, drugs, alcohol, we need to make sure the source of our counsel is good. And then the last one, seek accountability. It's not popular and it's not easy, because you know when you ever had somebody call you on something, you know when you're reaching for that donut and they tell you, they tell you, I won't tell your wife. See, Dr. K is not here today, so I know a lot of you indulging in the fried rice and stuff like that, but seek accountability. You know when you want to grab that bottle or the shot glass, or not even the shot glass, but just the bottle? Yeah? And if somebody you're accountable to, man, it makes all the difference in the world. Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one. They have good return for their labor. For if either one falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls and there is not another to lift him up. Think of those commercials. The life alert, help, I'm falling. It's like, I kind of like giggle, but it's like, man, I don't want to be there one day. I think the best way to look for accountability is look for somewhere to serve in this fellowship. If you call this your home church, tell one of our leaders, I wanna serve here. And when you commit, be here to do that. On your day, commit to it. Man, I would love for us to rebuild our youth, to start having youth nights a year, you know, once or twice a month, where our teenagers, our middle school to high school can come. Because I know you adults. How many of you say, I will cook for them if they meet? How many of you? Look, 1, 2, 3, 4. See, we got 5. We got a whole bunch. They would cook if we just have somebody who really loves teenagers. Oh, difficult, huh? But you know what? I think that's when they need it the most. Because that's when how many of you in your teenage years, that's when the most that you struggled, that you chose the wrong path. I was 11th grade. I had 4 Fs, 2 Ds. My mom said, wait till you get home, you're going to get it. I ran away from home for like 4 or 5 days. So, seek accountability, and you know, find some place. I'll commit to this day. I'll commit to the first Sunday, the fourth Sunday, the second Sunday, the third Sunday. You know, to do something in this church, to watch our kids. If you just look that way, if you just look right, you see how bad we park when nobody's out there directing traffic, right? We try to set a pattern. But some people, you know, we just park wherever. Why? Because nobody wants to go out and direct traffic. And we used to have parking lot people. But like you see, we need people here and there taking temperatures, passing out bulletins. We get some baristas over there, you know, Sunday school, children's church, all that. So here it is. In 1 Peter, it says, be sober. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls along like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You know, if we travel in pairs, we're accountability. You know, the devil is less likely to attack us when we're together As soon as we leave, that's when he attacks. As soon as we drive out the gate, oh gosh. One scripture in the Old Testament talks about the spirit of jealousy waiting at the gates. Yeah, when we leave at the gates. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So what do you think James tells us to confess to one another when we really, you know, confess our sins to God? But I think he tells us to confess to one another as a sign of accountability. It's like, hey, brother, help me with my drinking. You know, help me with my drugs. You know, you see me, just tell me no. Or tell them, if you get tempted, text you. I mean, let's say I have a real problem of spending money on tools.
Right.
We know that's not a problem. Yeah, I can justify it. I really can, because I use my tools to help people. Yeah, I can justify tools. I can justify boots, fishing supplies. I catch fish and I give it to people. Right? So every Thursday morning, we are at Blaine's doing devotions in the industrial. And then we finish at about 7. We don't have to get to work till like later on. So I say, hey, James, we go Home Depot. And then he said, hey, you don't need that. Stop it. You don't need to buy that. Accountability. Of course, James does not call me when he goes to Tokunaga's. I would stop him. I would return the favor. Yeah. So, you know, we find somebody who can help keep us accountable. You know, when we read our Bible together, we keep each other accountable to reading the scriptures. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Oh. Sometimes when you read that, you just have to look in the mirror. But a wise man is he who listens to counsel. We all have struggles. And together, let's learn how to deal with them in a way that God intended us to do, because us to deal with it. Because I believe that when the struggles come, the tests, the temptations, everything, God uses those things to grow us, to make us stronger. Because prosperity doesn't really grow us. When we got everything we need, you know, when we can pay our bills like 5 months in advance, we can pay our gas, electric with no problems. That's no test. That doesn't grow us. But when we struggle, when we are in the valley, that's when we grow. And that's why when we struggle with our health, with our finances, with relationships, with drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be, when we struggle in those areas, that's when we grow. And that's what God, that the enemy uses that to destroy us. But God uses that to grow us. And together, as a family, in unity, we can become overcomers. Amen? All right, you can put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and pray with me. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Man, if somebody really struggling, and you know, the way to help is through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's why he died on the cross, so that we can receive salvation, so that we can have the abundant life he promised us. And if you're struggling and you never accepted Jesus, then maybe that's a great or the best place to start, by asking Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? God bless you. Bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. And I pray that you would guide them, that you would lead them, that you would strengthen them, that you would let them know how much you love them. We thank you so much, Lord, for what you did on the cross so that we can have eternal life, abundant life. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, there's a yes booklet at the table. I want you to grab one of those. And Jen got a whole bunch of hand sanitizer. Spread Jesus, not germs. Go help yourself to one of those. Would you stand and join us as we sing our last song?
Thank you, Pastor Scott. All right, let's take it all today, giving God glory. What to say, Lord?